Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the TRPA Ops and Governance Committee. And today is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, and the time is a little bit before 11:30, and I apologize for the delayed start. First item on the agenda is a roll call to determine a quorum. Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Anderson? Here. Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Honigman? Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. So I'll go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For members of the public who are joining us remotely, to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov. Under the calendar header, click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for June 22nd, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. Committee members who are joining us remotely, if you wish to speak, you can also now raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon at the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. And finally, I would like to ask that all remote members turn on their cameras if they're available. I don't see anyone turning on their cameras. Everybody wants to be incognito this morning, I guess. Okay. All right. And members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called to the front to speak. Committee members who are attending in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment and speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. If you are viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Chris, any changes to the agenda?
For the record, Chris Kyler, Finance Director. No changes, but we propose swapping items 7 and 8 in the sequence. Yeah, switching the order of items 7 and 8.
7 and 8, yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. I didn't know if that was confirmed or not. All right, in that case, we will deem the agenda approved as amended. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from the May 25th, 2022 meeting on page 7 of your packet. Does any member of the committee wish to make any changes?
None here.
Okay, seeing none. All right, then we will go ahead and if no one objects.
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item is agenda item number 3, which is a recommendation to approve the May financials. Information on this item can be found on page 49 of your packet. Chris?
For the record, Chris Kyler, Finance Director for the agency. Can I have the first chart, please? Okay, thank you. We have now exceeded the planning fee revenue budget for the year with 1 month remaining. So this is an indication of the high volume of activity in the current planning division. It's also driving our revenue assumptions that we're going to use for the budget for next year, which we will talk about later in this meeting. We've also achieved the AIS fee revenue forecasted as well. On the shoreline fees are at 79% on the buoy fees, but the annual renewal for your buoy fee is due June 30th. So we anticipate a lot of those renewals coming in this month. On the expenditure side, we're still kind of struggling to fill some positions. We now have 3 vacancies that have to be filled, and there are 3 new positions that we're recruiting for that are in the budget for next year. On the contracting side, we're continuing to lag behind. That's actually fairly normal for us to lag behind, but that continues. Could I have the next chart, please? This is a different cut of the same data, just showing comparison to budget. We're all within our budget numbers, and that's good. There probably will be a surplus. There's a substantial surplus now, but a lot of that will be covered by lagging costs and by final year-end entries when we close the books for the year. Could I have the next chart, please? Cash flow is a little bit different from year to year. You see that the line normally turns down and drives down to zero as you progress through the year, but it stayed up quite a bit. A lot of that is because of the higher planning revenues that we're getting. But I'd also note that we also are taking in a substantial amount of mitigation fees and things like that, which won't get reflected immediately in revenues and expenses. So that's part of that surplus cash there. And we will, again, be spending at least $1 million, probably more, paying contracts at the end of the year. Can we have the next chart, please? And this is the balance sheet. Basically, there's no changes. We had like a $300,000 increase in both revenues and expenses, and there's really nothing major going on here on the balance sheet at this point in time. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to take any questions.
That was simple and concise. Thank you, Chris. Any members of the committee have any questions on the main financials? Yes, Scott.
I just have a question on page 55 of the actual versus budget by program. The top chart for current planning, I was just looking at this. It just looked like the how this is calculated. I was just trying to figure out how the net plan, the highlighted area below, how that's calculated, because in looking at the others, we have current planning less expenditures. So we're saying that we are in the good by $1.251 million. We're...
That's a sum of a delta. Where we are year to date is we're in the hole, or we're signed conventions get backwards because of the way accounting systems work. We have a surplus right now of $478,000. We were planning on a deficit of $773,000. Sorry, that's how you should read that.
Okay, all right. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Any other comments or questions from members of the committee? All right. Anyone? Let's see. I see Jeff's face. There are no hands raised, so I'm assuming that people joining us virtually have no comments or questions. So we will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raised hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. So I'm looking out in the audience. I see mostly staff. So I presume none of you have questions. So we will turn to people who might be attending virtually. And who's handling that for us? Mari, are you handling the virtual?
Yes, public comment? Sure I am. And I'm looking, and we have no hands raised for this item.
All right, then we will close public comment. If there are no further questions by members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend to the governing board approval of the May financials.
So moved. You got it.
Fantastic. Thank you. You both get credit. Thank you so much. Okay, Mari, will you please take the roll?
Mr. Anderson.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson.
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Alden?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right. Thank you so much. That brings us to the next item, which is item 4 on the agenda, recommendation to approve the release of Project 3 transit mitigation funds in the amount of $20,000 plus interest for the South Shore Transportation Management Association microtransit service. Information on this item can be found on page 75 of your packet. Kira?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kira Smith, Senior Transportation Planner with TRPA. Today, we are seeking the committee's approval to release Project 3 Transit Mitigation Funds, about $20,000 plus interest for the South Shore Transportation Management Association's new microtransit service. So I'll just briefly give you some background on Project 3 and then walk you through staff's recommendation to release the funds to the South Shore TMA. So at its July 2006 meeting, the TRPA Governing Board approved Redevelopment Project 3 also fondly known as the hole in the ground. Pictured here in the state line corridor on the South Shore, the project was approved for mixed-use development to be constructed by the Lake Tahoe Development Company and South Tahoe Redevelopment Agency. The project was partially constructed and then went into bankruptcy. Next slide. One of the permit conditions required the permittee to participate in a public-private MOU to implement certain elements of TRPA's short-range transportation program and show how they would contribute to the Coordinated Transit System, CTS, which was a publicly and privately funded transit operation on the South Shore at the time. And that service was on-demand, door-to-door service that primarily served the casino core in South Lake Tahoe. During the permit acknowledgement phase, the developer agreed to make a yearly $10,000 contribution to the CTS system. Two payments were made, and then the redevelopment Project 3 went bankrupt, and the project was not completed, as we all know. Next slide. Around the same time that the project went bankrupt, the CTS system also dissolved. So the mitigation funds have been sitting in the account since then. And although the funds were originally intended for CTS, TRPA staff are proposing to allocate the funds to the South Shore Transportation Management Association for their new microtransit service, which they are calling LakeLink. CTS's original goal for the service was to provide transit for residents and visitors, operate as a demand-based as opposed to a schedule-based service, and it included several different funding partners. The LakeLink SSTMA service will serve residents and visitors in Stateline, Bijou, and Altajo. It will be free to the user, on demand, and there are over 20 different funding partners, the majority of which are listed in the packet. So the SSTMA service is essentially a modern version of CTS, and it will serve the Stateline core where impacts from the original approved project are best mitigated. So we feel it is appropriate to allocate the funds to this service. And that's all I have. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take those. And I think we also have a couple of the TMA board members on who could also answer questions.
Okay. Well, let's move. We'll kind of treat those comments as members of the presentation. Any members from the South Shore Transportation Management Association who are online, does anyone have any comments to add to the staff's presentation on this item? Okay, I see no hands raised, so I presume that's not the case. I have one quick question, Kira. So normally when I think of this sort of service, I think of providing door-to-door service as part of a paratransit operation. This is not paratransit, right? And the question is, if you can, I suppose it depends, these on-demand services, if they're being fully utilized, then people have no alternative but to use a scheduled, a bus that's on a scheduled route. But I would, how are you to prevent the system from being overwhelmed? I mean, people would far prefer to have people, you know, a bus come to their door and pick them up as opposed to standing at a bus stop waiting for a scheduled bus to arrive.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll also let some of the TMA board members speak to this if they want to, but the service is definitely not intended to replace the fixed route bus service that's currently operated by TTD. And it will really, I think the goal is just to provide door-to-door on-demand service within the zone. And the service isn't supposed to start until July 15th. So we don't really know what the demand will look like at the moment. But yeah, it's definitely meant to be a complementary service to the fixed route service that operates in that area.
Okay, so priority will not be given to people with mobility issues.
They will have a bus. They will have a van that will have a wheelchair lift, although I don't know if the system has any sort of way to prioritize trips for people with disabilities.
Okay, well, thank you. Chris, yes.
Stephen Gavin are on the line too with their hands raised.
Oh, okay. Stephen?
You go ahead if you'd like to address the committee.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning, members of the committee, Chair Aldean, Steve DeShera, the chair of the board of the South Shore Transportation Management Association. First of all, I want to thank your staff. They've been extremely supportive throughout this, providing some technical guidance, participating in our meetings, both our board meetings and our microtransit committee meetings. And so we really, really appreciate it. We also appreciate the staff work that has brought this item before you today. The release of the Project 3 Transit Mitigation Funds, as Ms. Smith has described for you. Yes, this is intended to coordinate with the TTD fixed route. There's an app-based way to reach out to the microtransit, and we're in the process of coordinating that app with the TTD schedule. TTD may wish to modify their fixed route to mesh better, but you know that's something that we're working with TTD to do, and we're looking at how we might interface with other transportation systems on the South Shore, for instance, in the winter with Heavenly. So this is a pretty exciting step forward for transit on the South Shore. We appreciate the agency's support at the staff level and ask that you grant this proposed release of mitigation funds today. And if you have any other questions, myself, my board colleague, Mr. Feiger, are here to answer any additional questions you might have.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much for that input. Let's bring it back to the committee. Any committee member have any questions regarding this item? Let's start with Alexis, and then we'll move to Scott. Alexis.
No questions. I fully support, and I'm so excited that we're connecting microtransit in South Shore. It's also happening in Placer and Washoe County. So I think that the visitor will hopefully find some seamless traveling around the lake with this program.
Okay, thank you. Scott?
I apologize if this has been answered previously in other meetings. Do we have, you know, how many vehicles are there? How many drivers do we have? Seeing that this is starting up in less than a month, do we have the vehicles and the drivers all lined up and the staffing for this?
Carol, would you like to address that?
I'll let Steve answer that. I think he's more familiar with some of those details.
Steve, did you hear the question?
Yes. Am I back on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for the question. Yes, we are working with Downtowner, which is the same company that's doing the micro transit service on the North Shore and in many other communities around the country. They're very experienced. And as Commissioner Hill said, that they're doing a great job on the North Shore. So yes, the drivers are being hired, the vans are in place, and we do expect to be able to launch the service in the middle of July, as we have indicated. So a lot of work has gone into this over the last couple months to get us ready. Just yesterday, we launched our marketing materials. As Ms. Smith indicated, the service is called Lake Link, and we're feeling very positive and upbeat about our ability to float this out as a pilot and to build on it from there. And again, appreciate the question.
Steve, did you mention the number of vehicles that will be available for this service?
We're starting with four vans. As Ms. Smith indicated, two of them are handicapped equipped. They will have bike racks and I believe opportunities for skis in the wintertime. We are looking at this as something that we may want to expand if funding is available. As we go forward, so there's a possibility that, you know, we could bring additional vehicles if the service demands it. We're launching this a year earlier than required, which we're excited about that. And that'll give us an opportunity to put out the service, see the receptivity, see where some issues are. Obviously, the key to this is making sure that the wait times for the passengers remain as low as possible. So if we need to bring additional vehicles in, we'll have those conversations with Downtowner and deal with those issues. We hope that's a challenge that we have.
Absolutely. That would, yeah. But be careful for what you wish.
Yes.
You may be overwhelmed.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Cindy?
I was just going to further respond that one of the issues with drivers in transit vehicles is the licensing, and that has created, I mean, it's not just with transit, it was with many Class A drivers throughout the industries. And the great thing about MicroMass Transit is it doesn't require that level of licensing, and so drivers are more readily available. That's what we found on North Shore, where we've had challenges with getting bus drivers for our regular mainline system. We've had no problem with the private sector retaining drivers for the MicroMass Transit.
That's great. Good question, Scott. Thank you. All right. If there are no further questions by members of the committee, we will move to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Seeing no members of the public here in person, Mario, we will move to anyone who might like to ask a question or make a comment virtually. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, I'll give it just one moment here to see if anybody does raise their hand for a question or comment. And there are no hands raised for this item.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Then we will close public comment. And we need a motion to recommend the approval of the release of Project 3 Transit Mitigation Funds in the amount of $20,000 plus interest for the South Shore Transportation Management Association Microtransit Service.
Move to approve.
All right. Alexis, thank you so much. We have a motion to approve. Mari, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is agenda number 5, which can be found on page 79 of your packet. And this is a recommendation to approve the fiscal year 2022-23 annual budget. Chris?
Okay. For the record, Chris Schuyler, Finance Director. I'd like to take a minute to call out a couple of people who I always get the credit for all this stuff, but there's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes. So our controller, Kathy Salisbury, is with us today. She normally works very remote, but she came in here today. And sitting all the way in the back, Melissa Uppendahl, who's Assistant Controller and Grants Manager, made a major contribution as well.
Welcome.
There's also another Grants Manager, Caroline Sussman, who couldn't be here today, made a big contribution. Just to start at the high level and drill down here, the biggest change between next year and this year is really the LTRA funding, and most of that is really going to be the Keys demonstration project. So that's the real big change from year to year here. We're in the second year of a Nevada budget, so nothing's really changed there, and we didn't have any changes in revenues or anything from the state of California. That Keys work, I mean, it's all basically contracted out. So it doesn't, we will have some extra headcount for managing those funds because those are coming through through Department of Interior. Our big concern going forward is inflation, because inflation is back with the vengeance, as it were. We need to get an inflation adjustment in our state budgets, and we're working on that for the fiscal year 2024 budgets, which are now in process, just the big kickoff stuff. For this year, we did assume some inflation in our insurance premiums. The insurance policies renew in January. We won't really know until around November timeframe what those changes are, but we are assuming a 10% increase in medical insurance. Contracts are mostly, the stuff that's in there is at the rates we know because it's under a contract now, but going forward, we may see a lot of price increases in those contract efforts. We're already seeing that in the construction work that we're doing to fix up these lobbies, where they're basically incrementing prices on materials like weekly or every week or two. So if you don't buy quickly, your price is going to go up 5%. But we need to deal with that going long term. Other items that are in here should go without saying, but this reflects our work plan and the policy initiatives that the board has set. We are proposing 4 new positions. 3 of those will be grant funded. That's in the transportation and AIS areas. And 1 new position will be paid for out of the Shoreline funds. Shoreline is still struggling to implement the program, and we need to add help in there to make sure we're meeting those obligations. We did include a 5% staff salary increase. The way we do those, it won't be a COLA that's spread evenly across the staff. It will be based on performance and where people are in their salary ranges.
Can I ask a question? And please, any member of the committee who has a question as we go through this, it's kind of a lengthy presentation. Let's just get these questions addressed up front. So the salary increases, are we anticipating that everybody may receive a salary increase? Is that what you base the budget on, or a certain percentage of our employees will receive that inflationary increase?
We set the budget at equal to 5% of the total comp.
Okay.
But then when we allocate it out, there'll be variances. For example, we do not give a raise to anybody who's on a performance improvement plan or anything like that. We don't usually give salary increases to people that have been hired within the last 6 months.
Okay.
But we'll look at everybody.
So this is the worst case scenario. It's not worse for the employees, obviously, but we've built that into the budget.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And then finally,
Cindy has a question.
And I just was going to point out in the parens is the most important part is that with inflation running as it is, it's actually a decrease in people's ability to take care of themselves and their families with those 5% increases or less, depending on the individual. So I just like to point that out, especially as we're talking about with our state contributions and where they've been running the impacts to the individuals that are working so hard for this agency. So.
Absolutely. Alexis, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we talk about the transportation increase? And so I know it's for the planning of Meeks Bay and Highway 89 specifically. Is there any other transportation projects that we're going to be doing with that?
I was going to address that later.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually down because the upfront work that we've done for Meeks Bay was contracted out in this current year, but it'll be less next year.
Okay.
But I'll address it.
I also, to tag on to what Cindy had to say, I mean, they're anticipating that inflation will be at 10% next year. So, and that's reflected obviously in the increase in insurance premiums. So you're right, the 5% salary increase is pretty modest. Yes.
Chris, I have a question. If you'll refresh my aging memory, what have been the typical salary increases in the last several budgets? I mean, they've been. I know we're low statewide, I understand, yeah. But I'm just curious.
Last year we budgeted for 3%, but when we started to do the analysis and hand out the money, we realized that just was not going to be enough. So last year we moved some money around, and we actually did a 5% last year.
Okay.
And the year before, I believe, it's 3%.
Okay. I join in the comments about inflation. That's something we're going to have to address at some point.
Right. Any other questions about the committee, or should we let Chris move on? Okay, Chris, please.
And then finally, before we leave this chart, you're going to hear later about transition plans for Joanne and ED, and those costs are baked into these numbers at some moment. So I could have the next chart, please. This is just a couple pie charts that show you the sources of the revenue and the sources of and where we're spending the money. The key things on here, the key takeaway for you is that grants are now a much larger portion of our revenue stream. It's 47% of the revenue is coming from grants. And again, the big increase is driven by the LTRA funding. So big kudos to Julie and Dennis and the team for bringing in that LTRA money, being able to do that work. State contributions are 34% and the fees are at 17%. On the expenditures, there's a big change here because normally we run about 50-50 compensation and contracts. But because of this LTRA funding, you see that contracts are a much larger percentage of our spend. The good news is that gives us a little more flexibility, but it is a trend. And that's driven largely by the nature of the AIS program and how it's done. So if I could have the next chart, please. Don't bother trying to read the table on here. I know it's an eye chart, but I'm going to break that down in the next three charts. Over on the right side of this chart is just the breakout of those pie charts I just showed you for the actual numbers, if you want to look at that. So let's go ahead to the next chart. This is just the general funds. Hopefully that's blown up a little bit so you can see it. General funds are in very good shape. Down there at the eliminations line, what that is we're taking out the rent that we pay ourselves. So the building fund has $690,000 of rent revenue coming from TRPA, and the general fund has $690,000 of rent that we pay to ourselves. So we take that out because it's a double counted, as it were. The real variances here basically boil down to two things. We have the money in there for the salary increases, the 5% salary increases. And then the second thing is we, on the general fund side, we're spending some more contracting dollars in the research and analysis section this coming year because we're getting ready to wind up for the next TVAL. You thought you just finished a TVAL. It never ends. There's another one coming back. Ken's here. I want to ask about that. One of the reasons this, actually, let me go to the next chart and make this point on the next chart. These are the planning funds. And you see there is a deficit in the planning funds there with the revenues not being enough to cover all the expenses. We made an accounting change several years ago to allocate administrative and overhead expenses over to the planning fund, which hadn't been done before. That allocation is about $950,000. So the planning fund is getting underwater because of that allocation. But they're actually, if you see the deficit, it's only about $800,000. So the planning fund is actually contributing about $150,000 to covering the A&O expenses. We could raise planning fees to close that deficit, but that would be a pretty hefty increase in planning fees. And we've kind of been reluctant to do anything really large there. The other question we don't know the answer to yet is this planning activity going to continue at the high level it is now? Is it going to start tailing down? And I think I talked about this last month. There was some leading indicator evidence that the planning activities may have plateaued. And certainly if we see a recession or other things, some of that activity may back off. I mean, mortgage interest rates have just skyrocketed. They've gone up to almost 7%. So there may be some changes coming there. We think we're in pretty good shape for this year because people have done the upfront work. They've done their capability analysis and all that stuff. So they're ready to start coming in with permits. And the current planning department is still getting a high volume of permits for the planning, so for real work. This assumption in here is that we do an 8.3% increase in planning fees at the end of January, which is our normal cycle. That will add to some of that revenue. We also increased the budgeted revenue higher than what it was last year. So we're showing a higher level of revenue from that. It doesn't show up that high here because when we also looked at it, the shoreline project fees that we had in the forecast for the current year were too high and we've adjusted them down. Just to differentiate for you, the cost of your annual buoy renewal goes into the shoreline fund. But anybody who applies for a new structure or a new buoy, that's a planning activity and that appears in the planning fund. So on the one hand, we increase planning revenue for other planning stuff, but we're reducing the projected planning revenue for the shoreline related projects.
So if somebody comes in with an application to build a new pier, there's a fairly substantial impact fee. What does that go into shoreline? I'm assuming it would, right? Mitigation fee.
That's a planning activity. So that would be in the planning fund. The only thing that goes in the shoreline fund is the annual renewal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And those pure allocations are every other year and limited in numbers. So at any rate, we do all those ups and downs. It winds up being a net increase of about $100,000 in our forecasted revenue for the year. And we will be coming back to you in the fall sometime, probably in the November timeframe, to validate the inflation increase for the planning fees.
Is there any reason to wait until November? How much revenue are we losing by not making that adjustment earlier?
Yeah, because of the MOUs and the delegation to the counties, a lot of their fees key off of our fees. So we really need 3 to 4 months to work through with each of the counties so that they can update their fee schedules as well.
Okay.
So there is a time lag in there and a lot of coordination has happened.
Okay, thank you.
The Shore Zone Fund on this does show a little bit of a negative. But we still have funds left over from the original 2007 program, and there's a substantial fund balance there, like $400,000-$500,000. So we didn't see any reason to transfer money from the general fund to cover that, just eat into those numbers a little bit. And this is the area where we are planning on heading ahead to process, make sure we can catch up on the outstanding applications. And if I could have the next chart, grants. Grants are lovely because they pay everything. They're all balanced. They're all neutral. You can see here on this chart, AIS has grown substantially. It's now over $8 million. And again, that's the LTRA, and that's the real big change from year to year. Transportation went down a little bit. And again, those two projects, Meeks Bay and 89, we had some upfront work that was contracted out, and that's been wrapped up or reduced in scope. Projects themselves are still well underway, as you just saw. But that initial surge of investment on our part is past us now. EIT and BNT didn't really change very much. I will note on this chart that $8 million for AIS is actually a combination of grants, user fees, and state funding. The two states each contributed $375,000 a year to the prevention program, and that's in those numbers. Let me have the next chart, please. This kind of breaks out our contracting effort by area, and you may have heard a theme by now. It's all about AIS. AIS is over half the contracting area, half the contracting expenditures for the agency. The next biggest one there is in the RNA area, and that's two things. It's the environmental monitoring, but it's also all the data transparency stuff we're doing with the LT Info platform and getting information out so people can use and pulling together the information from our partner entities to help anybody who's trying to track what we're doing in the basin with, you know, the EIP plan. Can I have the next chart, please? These kind of show the labor cost. On the left, what you see is how much is compensation versus retirement and insurance premiums. And obviously, it's a medical insurance. It's part of that insurance premium. And on the right, you kind of see what areas it goes to. About 54% goes to the general fund. The next biggest area for labor is current planning, and then transportation, and finally RNA. I'd have the next chart, please. So in summary, we paid for everything. Between revenue, the grants cover their own costs. The bond money is going to cover $410,000 worth of work we're doing on the building, the roof and the rock wall and that stuff. I think the last month we talked about a $300,000 carryover from the current year. I think that's a conservative number. We'll probably come in higher than that. So we've used that to help balance this budget. And then finally, we'll dip into those shoreline funds to cover that small $60,000 deficit, the shoreline fund. And we do have other options. There's a lot of little things out there that we can do if we need to tweak something. So there's some low priority projects, contracts we can deal with, and we'll have to see where the recruiting expenses come in at.
Did you want to just touch on, Chris, what you're anticipating? You had mentioned to me in our phone call the deep water plant survey is being postponed. And that's, I mean, it seems like chump change when you're looking at a, you know, what appears to be a large deficit, but in reality, they add up.
Well, this is how you deal with the day-to-day, you know. Oh, you suddenly decided we want to spend some money here. What can we take it from?
Right.
So that's, I would put it, you know, we structure the contracts. When we do the contracts budget, we have a whole long list of contracts and we do different priorities. And so there's like three of them that are at the bottom of the priority list. And so if we need money, we'll pull it from those.
Okay.
And then if I could have the final chart, please. As I wrote in the staff summary, we're asking you to approve the budget. And with that, you're basically approving all these items, the $22.6 million expenditure plan, the $13 million worth of contracts. I showed you some detail on those contracts last month. If you want to, we can look at them again. Approving the staffing, and the key things are they're in there are the headcount, the 5% compensation change. And on the headcount, I use the 80 number on there. That's kind of an inflated number because that includes interns and summer hires and people like that. So the true mainstream headcount is probably more around 65 or 67, somewhere in that range. And then the inflation increase for the current planning season. So that's what we're asking you to approve today, or to recommend to the board that they approve.
Okay, all right, thank you. Cindy.
Thanks, Shelley. Chris, I wanted to just go back over the state revenues because I think we're projecting zero increase from California for this fiscal year. And Nevada, similar? Or
I'm going to be a little cagey here and say yes, but the actual baseline budget that we're getting from California is the same. The adder is, we haven't quite baked it into this number yet, but we were able to obtain $250,000 worth of ARPA funding to pay for a scanning project so we can start digitizing our files.
Mm-hmm.
That actually isn't in this budget yet. We're still working out the details with the state.
Minor but amount.
I kind of consider that to be a separate item because it's not really part right. of the baseline budget. No, it's the second year of the biennium and the contribution that RAD is unchanged.
Well, I think it's important for the board to understand the full board, this committee, and then the full board, that our state revenues are not keeping up with inflation by any means. And yet we're continuing. That's the majority of our general fund is state funding. And that is the partnership, the bi-state partnership on keeping this agency running. And so I just want to continue to educate the full board because we each have our roles to advocate for those to be more realistic numbers. And if not for this year, then certainly in our efforts for next year.
Thank you. And I'll put in a little plug because it's time to start working on that stuff. We've already submitted initial all concept papers to the state of California. And there are some pretty significant lifts in there. And we've had some conversations with the Nevada Budget Office. Both states will be expecting us to turn in budget requests at the end of August for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2023.
Well, it's important, you know, as I look at it, whatever the state is budgeting for their own general fund increases, at least for the state of California with a huge surplus, we ought to be able to ask for the same for this agency to continue to run. And certainly we can talk with our state appointed officials on both states to help. Those of us in local government are used to trying to balance budgets with, but we have other means of increases through our general fund. And in this situation, we're solely dependent or very heavily dependent on those state contributions.
That's a very important point because we have no taxing authority. So our right. ability to generate funds on our own is fairly restricted.
Right.
Right. Right. Good
thank
point.
You. That
thank
was.
You. Thank you for bringing that up. Chris, have you concluded your presentation?
That concludes my presentation, unless you have any questions.
Okay. All right. Any questions from members of the committee? Okay. Seeing no hands raised, we will go ahead and entertain public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Again, seeing no members of the public in the audience, we will move to people who might be joining us virtually. Maria, is there any public comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there is no public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. Last opportunity for committee members to ask questions or provide input. All right. Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to recommend approval of... Where am I? Hang on. Got to turn the page. Excuse me. Let's see... I will entertain a motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 2022-2023 annual budget as presented.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Any comments on the question? Seeing none, Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Chris, thank you, and you, people who help you in the accounting division, finance department. Thank you for all your hard work. All right. It brings us to item number six, which is a recommendation to approve a salary adjustment for interim director John Hester. Information on this item can be found on page 89 of your packet. And this will be handled by Angela. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Yes.
Angela Atchley, Director of Human Resources, for the record. Last month, the governing board approved to appoint John Hester as interim executive director, effective July 1st of 2022. TRPA's policy and past practice is to increase an employee's compensation when they are asked to fill another position in addition to their current role for more than a few weeks. Therefore, we are recommending a salary adjustment of 10% to reflect the new position. And we're recommending approval of the motion to increase the director's salary, the interim executive director's salary by 10%.
Okay. And this, as you intimated, is kind of standard practice, as you'll note in your packet.
Correct.
When Joanne was forced to take medical leave, Julie Reagan received a temporary 10% increase while she was serving as interim director. Okay. Any questions or comments by members of the committee? Okay. Seeing none. We will go ahead and open this up to public comment. Again, if any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. And again, seeing no members of the public in the audience today, we'll go ahead and move on to entertaining comments from people who may be joining us virtually. Maria, any member of the public wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, I'm giving it one moment to see if anyone likes to raise their hand to make public comments. And we have no hands raised for this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment and bring it back to the committee. If there are no additional comments that anyone wishes to make, I'll entertain a motion to recommend a 10% salary adjustment for Interim Director John Hester as outlined in the staff recommendation.
Move to approve.
Okay,
thank you, John.
Did you have a question, Scott? I'm sorry. You were going to make a motion, okay. You're just not quick enough. Okay.
Fast.
All right, she is, right. Okay, so we have a motion. Mari, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? And Ms. Alden?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Thank you. All right, so that brings us to agenda item number 7.
Eight.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Appreciate that. Keep me in line here. All right, that brings us to item number 8. We are taking items number 8, 7, and 8 out of order today. Now, this is a recommendation to approve an executive director selection process, including the appointment of an ad hoc committee, providing input on the recruitment of a selection firm and other matters related thereto. Information on this item can be found on page 315 of your packet. And at this point, I'd like to pass this over to our Chief Operating Officer, John Hester.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Becky, at the next slide, please. So there are a number of items that are included in this search process. The first is establishing a committee, and I will hold off on that for Vice Chair Gustafson to talk about in a minute. Let me go through some of the other 9 steps. Selecting a search firm, specifically, there are firms that specialize in public sector recruitments. And so that's what we will be doing, have started doing there. Part of what we anticipate is that we'll have stakeholder interviews, as well as some survey work done to help the search firm that we select identify the characteristics of the ideal candidate. Preliminary job description has been prepared. Based on that survey, we'll tweak that to make sure that happens. And then the committee will help set a package for the new executive director, salary relocation, any other benefits. We may learn a little from this process and put in a separation package if we decide to do that, so we don't have to go through that at next time.
identify candidate search sources, everything from LinkedIn to associations, all of that will be something we have to do. Then there's a screening process, interview process. Madam Chair, you may recall, and you've participated in the process before, Joanne was executive director of a number of places use another panel or two to get a different perspective, or social events, receptions, and so forth. So the committee will work on that and develop a recommendation, negotiations, and a contract. This next slide, please. Our target is for this to take 6 months or less. So today, we're asking you to recommend and the governing board to approve the approach. We would like in July to have a meeting of the committee in mid-July, if we can do that, with a search firm in place, get a job description and brochure based on the feedback we get, and start the search. We anticipate in August that we'll have an initial report, an initial group of candidates, review those in September, and figure out how we want to do the interviews and with the panel, receptions, whatever I just mentioned. October, governing board make final selection, and then we anticipate that depending on who the successful candidate is, we'll need some time for them to notice their current employer and transition to TRPA over the holidays, and hope to have that person in place in January. I particularly hope that that will happen.
So, okay, yes, I can imagine.
So that's that.
That extra 10% is nice.
Yeah. So where are we today? The next slide, search status. We have issued an RFP. Angela told me a couple days ago, and maybe this needs to be updated, but we've already received one proposal. The deadline is this Friday. We anticipate at least one more coming, maybe more. And then we anticipate you, Madam Chair, staff committee of four senior staff, Angela, myself, Chris, and John Marshall, will select from the proposals and get a firm in place. We've already done a draft job description that will be revised after stakeholder input, and we've started identifying stakeholders for interviews. All of you, we anticipate, will be interviewed, and then there will be some surveys, some staff representatives who will be interviewed. So that's kind of the process, schedule, and where we are. And I'll now turn it over to the Vice Chair to introduce the proposed committee and membership.
Thank you, John. I've been working closely with our Chair, Mark Bruce, to establish a committee, obviously, with 15 board members. We can't have everybody who would want to participate on the committee. So we took a popularity contest. No, I'm sorry. We suggest, and do you have a slide on this, John, on the membership? It's in our packet, but I can
We took a popularity survey, and
yes.
We lost.
Yes, yes.
And so I do not have a slide.
Okay. And so the what we would recommend would be myself as vice chair, Vince Honeyman Shelley as chair of this committee, and Bill Yates, and replacing Mark Bruce on this because of the announcement today, Jim Lawrence to sit in. So we have local government representatives, we have state government representatives, and both new members, relatively new members, as well as more tenured members of the board serving on that committee. So if that would be acceptable on this approach, we would like to have a recommendation from this committee that that would meet the needs.
And those members are listed. I'm sorry, we did have a slide.
Okay.
I got behind.
Yeah.
Didn't keep up with the slide.
Yeah. And open to any input. We tried to do a good job of balancing all of those. So.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy.
And Madam Chair, yes. John Marshall was here. He would tell you that the way to establish the committee is by resolution. So we're asking, along with those committee members, for you to recommend approval of the resolution by the full board.
Right. I appreciate that. And John, John, are you with us? Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
I am. Excuse me. I'm barely with us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But luckily I'm sequestered. No, John hit it right. We have the two motions that you previously saw on those slides. The motion for to create the committee and then the motion to populate the committee with your recommendations. So that's good.
Okay. Thank you, John. Feel better. Okay. And I want to, although John alluded to it in his presentation, I want to reassure the public that there will be ample opportunity for public input as part of this process, which is customary as well as it should be. Any comments or questions by members of the committee, Scott?
Yeah, no, there was a letter that we'd received yesterday, I believe, that somebody from, I believe, the APC was asking to be on the selection committee. Have we considered that, or is that something off the table?
That would be a difficult selection to make. I mean, I suspect there are a lot of stakeholders in this basin who would like to be a part of the selection committee, and I think that would be incredibly unwieldy. But as I mentioned, Scott, earlier, there will be ample opportunity for that sort of public input and comment. But thank you for bringing that up. Cindy?
I was just going to add that I was privileged to serve on previous committees some time ago as an outside stakeholder on various panels as the agency reviewed applications. And I think we're talking about that as part of this process to be inclusionary and transparent in that process. I think all of us as board members could benefit from some additional input in that final. In the final selection process. And I do believe it brings credibility to the selection as well as continues our efforts in collaboration and moving this basin forward. So I would encourage us to, we'll be working on those sorts of opportunities for input from others.
Thank you, Scott. Any other questions or comments by members of the committee? Okay. So what we're going to do is we will move to public comment, and anyone wishing to comment on this item can comment. There are actually two elements to this item, which is not reflected in the original governing board packet. One is the establishment of the ad hoc committee to manage the recruitment of a new executive director. And the other is the, as John put it, the populating of that ad hoc committee as outlined by our vice chair. So with that, if any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. And I see we have a few more people in the audience, but I think they're all staff and governing board members. So that doesn't preclude you from making a comment if you wish, but I'm seeing heads wagging no. All right, so we will go ahead and entertain any comments from those members of the public who might be joining us virtually. Maria, any members of the public who wish to comment on these items?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have one person that would like to make a comment. Shay Navarro, please go ahead if you'd like to address the committee.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Shane? Shay, are you with us?
Yes, I'm there. Sorry, I just was unmuting. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to comment. My name is Shay Navarro. I'm the Stormwater Program Manager at TRPA. I've worked with the agency for the past 15 years, and I wanted to have a chance to provide some public comment on these two items. Specifically, I'd just like to say that the executive director position and or role at TRPA really provides an essential link between the governing board and TRPA staff. And as such, I think it's important that some staff representation be included in the selection process for the new executive director. And so that's what I would like to comment. I appreciate the opportunity and your consideration. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for that comment. Maria, any other comments from members of the public?
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment on this item.
All right. Thank you. I think today we're going to, again, to use John's terminology, we're going to populate the ad hoc committee with the members of the board who have been recommended as members. And then the board has some discretion with respect to, entertaining the idea of bringing one or two members of staff on board to complement the efforts of the committee. So we will not deal with that, but I appreciate that input. And again, in terms of soliciting general comment on the process and on the applicants, there will be ample opportunity for our stakeholders and members of staff to do that as well. So, all right. So we will go ahead and close public comment. And if you could put the two motions up on the screen, we have those two motions. Would somebody care to make one or both of those motions?
I'm happy to do it.
Sure, and Alexis.
I appreciate the leadership to outline this so there were no loose ends come the meeting. And so thank you so much. I know there was a lot of work done on this. I move to recommend that the governing board adopt resolution 22- what's the other rest of it? Or do we know? Okay. To create an ad hoc committee to manage the recruitment for the executive director position, and just that motion. All right.
Okay, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? All right. Cindy, did you have a comment on
No,
question?
I'm sorry. I was just getting ready to vote.
Okay, all right. All right. Maury, will you please call a roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, so Cindy, would you care to make the second motion?
Sure, I would make the second motion to recommend that the governing board appoint governing board members, myself, Vince Honigman, Shelley Aldean, Bill Yates, and Jim Lawrence to the ad hoc committee.
Okay, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? Seeing none, Maury, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Aldi?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right, thank you. So we are going to, at this moment, backtrack to item 7. This item is can be found on page 313 of your governing board packet. And the recommendation is to approve Executive Director Joanne Marchetta's retirement, transition, and separation agreement. And Cindy, I will pass the gavel to you on this item.
Thank you, Shelley. I was honored to be asked, I guess, honored to be asked to work with Mark, our chair, on discussions on this separation package. And it required a lot of balancing of a variety of input from various board members and the public and others, especially working with our executive director and her input on this situation. Obviously, this was not Joanne's choosing entirely that finds us in this situation. And I think we've brought forward a very balanced and fair proposal with the bullet points that you see. Are we putting those up on the screen? Yes. And so, as you know, this would be Joanne's last meeting today. There's a lot more to be said on that point. But that she will remain employed at 60% until that end of that first pay period culminating January 6th, 2023, as a senior advisor capacity to work on matters that we're going to try to download all of the memory banks and all of the background and information that has gone into 13 years of running this agency. The COBRA premiums would be paid through August 2023. And obviously, as it goes with all positions, her accrued leave balances automatically are paid at the end of that employment period. A performance bonus that I'll speak about in just a minute, and then Joanne has offered a waiver of any claims to the agency as part of that separation package. Going back to the performance bonus, the agency, from my understanding, and I'm newer on this board than many of you, has had quite a long history of sometimes not being able to pay any sort of salary increases. And as I calculated in looking at some information that Angela provided me, I think it's 7 or 8 years out of the 13 in which Joanne did not receive any sort of incentive or increase in pay. And we really wanted to look at this in terms of a career incentive situation, not an annualized one. And that came into our discussions as well on the amount to really recognize the accomplishments of 13 years, to also consider the many years of not being able to make those adjustments adequately for the workload and the stress and the leadership and the wisdom that has brought us to this point with this agency today. So we're recommending a $20,000 performance bonus to be paid in January at the separation. So that is our recommendation. I speak, I think, for Chair Mark Bruce and myself. We've really worked hard, Joanne. We appreciate that you helped us find a middle ground and in some balancing of issues. And I think it. I think you're satisfied with where we've ended up. And I think we've balanced those issues to the best of our ability to make sure we're fairly compensating you and recognition of tremendous leadership of this agency.
Yeah, I'll just say briefly, Cindy, I'm fully in support of this. So I appreciate you working with so many members of the board as well as me as we put this together. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cindy. Well done. That was very succinct and I also wanted to mention, just since I think Chris may have alluded to it earlier in the conversation, but there is wiggle room within our budget to accommodate this $20,000 performance bonus. So, all right. Any questions or comments by members of the committee? Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know the secretary is very supportive of this. I did have one question, though, because on the original, it stated that this would go through August of 2023. Now we're looking at January 6th of 2023. Is that going to give sufficient time for the transfer of knowledge that's going to be necessary? Plus, we may not even have an executive director by that time. Depending on how fast we go through the hiring process, because it could, as we've talked about earlier, this could be a 6-month process, and there we are.
You know, that's a really good question that we've gone back and forth with, and trying to balance the various concerns and issues of how long, you know, how much time. It could be years. It really could be. I joked with Joanne that my former agency, I've been gone 5 years. They still call to find out, why did we do that? What was the background on that issue? And I think Joanne has expressed her willingness to work with the new executive director in that capacity in that transition after the formalized employment ends. And we could also look at, depending on the time commitment needed, a contractual basis as well. I think Joanne might be open to that. It's just hard to predict now how much time, and depending on the candidate who is selected, it could be a much greater demand or much lesser demand of time.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Scott. Did you have another question?
Yeah. And again, thank you from the secretary. Thank you for all you've done.
And I, you know, when you have cooperating and willing partners who enter into negotiations, these little nuances and adjustments can be made depending on circumstances. And so we're not anticipating that necessarily will be required, but I'm sure that all the parties will coordinate and cooperate to the fullest extent possible if, in fact, the search goes on longer than expected. And we do have John Hester, who's a solid citizen at the helm in the interim. Any other questions by members of the committee? Yes, Alexis.
I don't have a question. I just want to say, again, thank you for your work on this. And Joanne, thank you so much for working with us. I'm I couldn't believe this wasn't built in your contract. And so I'm excited that we'll be building in a future contract with a future director. And I think this is a great compromise and really addressed all the issues that I heard at the board meeting when we discussed this. So great job, team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bud, did you have a comment?
Yeah, so I concur in Alexis's comments. Thank you, Joanne. You've been wonderful to work with, not only while I've been on the board, but before I came on the board and had occasional dealings with TRPA over the years. But thank you very much. And I also thank Cindy, you, and Mark, and the other board members who helped assemble this package and address these issues, and who are taking on this task, which is not a light task by any means. So thank you all, but thank you especially, Joanne.
Thank you, Bud. And I've sung my praises of Joanne many, many times, so I don't think anyone wants a reprise. But I'm sure that later in the meeting, just before the governing board adjourns, this will be Joanne's final meeting, that we'll have ample opportunity to express our appreciation to her. All right. Public comment on this. Pardon? I'm sorry. I think we need public comment on this item. Anyone in the audience, again, members of the governing board who are in the audience with us can certainly weigh in during the governing board meeting. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the committee on this agenda item? You can address us on both agenda items. If so, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised.
No hands raised. Okay. All right. Thank you. Then we will close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the separation agreement. Do we have language for that?
Yes.
Thank you. A motion to recommend the governing board approve the proposed transition and separation package terms for Joanne Marchetta, transitioning her to a position as senior advisor and separating her from the agency, and to delegate to the governing board chair the authority to enter into final agreements consistent with those terms.
And those terms would include, although it's not contained specifically in the governing board packet, it would include a $20,000 career bonus. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. We have a motion. Any comments on the question? Yes.
I'm ready to vote.
Oh, you're ready to vote. Okay. All right. Okay. Maria, could you please call a roll? Yes. What? Oh, John. I'm sorry, John. Yes, John.
No, I was just gonna make certain that the $20,000 bonus was mentioned specifically, but you took care of that. So.
See, great minds think alike, even when they're fuzzy in your case.
Exactly. Always fuzzy.
Thanks, John. All right. Okay. So, Maria, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman? Ms. Aldean?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right. Thank you. Kind of a bittersweet motion. All right, moving on to the next item, which is agenda item number 9, upcoming topics. Chris?
Just the only item on here really is I would propose, unless there's some other reason that we not have a July Ops Committee meeting. I don't like to do financials in July because it gives people the impression it's the full year and we still have a whole bunch of stuff to do after that. So unless there's some other issue the committee wants to take up, I would propose that we cancel July Ops.
Okay, I don't think any member of the committee is going to quibble about that. Are you going to quibble about that?
No,
Cindy?
I wasn't.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we have no members of the committee who wish to speak on this item. We'll now go to public comment. If any members of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Again, seeing no members of the public in the audience with us today, we will move to those who might be joining us virtually. Maria?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised. to make public comment on this item.
All right, thank you. We will then close public comment. Again, this was an informational item only. Item number 10, committee member comments. Yes, Scott.
Thank you. And I'll bring this up in the governing committee as well, governing board meeting as well. At 9 o'clock on Friday, there is a legislative committee for the review and oversight of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency and the Marlette Lake Water System. So I wanted to make sure that we were aware of that. And I know that there was one scheduled for a few weeks ago that was canceled. So, this Friday at 9 a.m., and that is in room 3138 of the legislative building.
I'm sorry, what was that, Scott, again, the room number?
Room 3138 of the legislative building in Carson City. And it will be video conference to room 4412 of the Grant Sawyer building in Las Vegas.
Okay, thank you. And I presume that staff is organized and prepared to present. Joanne?
Yes, we are. And just to clarify, this is not dealing with any matters related to transportation. The transportation, there will be a subsequent session in mid-July, July 15th, that's related to transportation. So I saw some kind of stunned looks. So
yes, don't thank panic. You for reading that.
Don't panic.
And they did just, it looks like they have posted the agenda. So you'll be able to take a look at that. I just want to make sure that it wasn't overlooked.
I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you for the reminder. Okay. Any other member of the committee have any comments to share? Yes, Cindy.
I just had a comment, Chris, that you mentioned that we'll be preparing our budget request for the state. It would be helpful when at the August meeting, perhaps, to kind of see the annualized, a bit of a more of a history for those of us that are newer on the committee of state contributions specific to the general fund. In other words, not the grants and not the special programs we get funded for, but is continuing to operate this agency, making sure that I understand what both states have done historically and how that maybe a five-year history or whatever's reasonable for staff to put together. I don't know if others would find that helpful, but I think it gives us a good talking point when we're talking to legislators and others.
Absolutely. By then, we'll have a good idea of what we think our asks are, and we'll be looking for the input from the committee too.
Okay, that'll be at our August meeting.
August meeting. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that recommendation, Cindy. All right. Any other comments by members of the committee? All right. Seeing none. Let's see. I've gotten so addicted to these cheat sheets, you know, I'm lost without them. So that brings us to our last public interest comment period. Again, if any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this item or at this time, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Seeing no members of the public in the audience wishing to testify, Maria, will you please advise us if there are any people joining us virtually who would like to comment?
Madam Chair, there's no hands raised to make public comment on this item.
Okay, all right. Then we will close public comment. Next item on the agenda is adjournment. Anyone care to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have a motion to adjourn. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, and